Today is the 4th of July. What does that relate to as far as end times is concerned? I just can't help it. Just can't help myself. We're warming up. We're warming up the browser. We've been up since 2 a.m. On the 4th, trying to figure out what's next. The purge. There will be a purge today, and everyone will go free haywire and light off fireworks and Bazooka Joe. No. I could go mad scientist. I could go Joker. Let's play the game. Lame. Generally takes a second to get warmed up. And now that I know that the Sabbath is on a Sunday, it's not on Saturday, but yet everybody has today off, I figure, well, I've made $1.20 since my June broadcasts, so maybe I'll make 10 more cents today. A little bit more sense today. Maybe I'll make a little bit more sense today. Hey, there's a new one. Add that to the cash register. Cha-ching! So I listened to one of the episodes and it sounded like it was just empty. And it sounded like, you know, like people, like if I was teaching like a lecture on end times, it sounded like everybody in the audience was like a skeleton. And they were just sitting there and their skeletons would like move and like hit the desk and hit the ground. Like everybody's dead listening. Like they're just dead, you know, and they're just listening because they can't move. You know, they don't got any type of movement, any type of life. They're just listening and they just can't help it. And they can't say anything, but they just, you know, it's just like an occasional movement. And I don't know if you hear it in this episode, you know, like the cracks and creaks and all that type of stuff. You know, it's just kind of funny. So, Rapture, 7 years tribulation, World Wide Web. Beware the beast. We're getting, you know, most of it out there. Not that I know what's happening. Not that I'm some sort of prophet. Let me make this perfectly clear. Not foretelling the end of the world. I'm not knowing what happens next. I know in my episode of Heaven and Hell, I'm like, oh, Lucifer went up to heaven and there's a war in heaven now. Well, depending on the interpretation of what I said, you could look at it as Heaven and Hell is like a prequel to the Bible, but it's left out of the Bible because it's not credible enough to be considered, you know, some sort of teaching that is deemed correct. You know, it's a story of my life and my journey back from mental health problems. But at the end of it, I said, you know, and Lucifer goes up to heaven and wages war against the angels and will eventually be cast out. Well, let's just say, for instance, there was the knowledge of good and evil with God, you know, knowing good and evil. So he knew heaven and hell and the whole dimension of heaven and hell was able to be traveled on by all the angels. And say, for instance, Lucifer or Satan spent so much time in hell that he wanted to rebel against God. So he went up to heaven and fought God and then got cast down to earth. And that was when God started creating the earth roughly 6,000 years ago, according to WMUZ, the light. Which, if it was 6,000 years ago and the prophecy says 6022, means I'm coming up on becoming anointed. Oh, yeah. What does that mean? I don't know. My birthday is coming up. I don't know what that means. It could be around December 2022. It could be around July 2022. It could be around any point in time in 2022. Or it could just be a miscellaneous dream that means nothing and gets your hoax conspiracy all worked up for nothing. Because I mean nothing to the whole religious context. I'm just your average, you know, Joe Schmo just doing his thing. You know, nobody really cares what he's doing. You know, he's just sitting back playing video games. He's just sitting back playing video games, drinking his coffee, drinking his smoothie, smoking his cigar, not really working for a living, but just studying the Bible. You know, I tell you, if I had a job where I could go out and I could, you know, study the Bible for work and relay messages from the Bible for work, other than what I do right now on End Times, I mean, that's what I would do. But the problem is I don't like working for anybody because they require too much of me. They want me to start at the bottom of the barrel. And they want me to work my way up, and they want me to scapegoat myself around and work as a guinea pig. It ain't going to be me. Listen, I got too much of a high regard, not pride, but just too much of a regard for myself to submit myself to anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I will work for the King. I will work for the Lord. I will do these type of things. I will carry out the message and the job that he has assigned for me, but in no way, shape, or form am I going to go on air and I'm going to submit myself to somebody else to tell me what to do, what to say, and all that type of stuff. But, you know, everybody's got their own situation, so I don't appreciate people saying, you know, just sits back and collects money. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I also have a severe mental disorder. I have a schizoaffective disorder, so if somebody were to say that, you know, oh, well, it's like a mental illness, not knowing, you know, that you can't turn invisible. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I've never really thought so erratically that I think I can turn invisible. I mean, I've had religious delusions before, but never have I thought that I can turn invisible in a battlefield. And, you know, for people to make derogatory remarks to the mental illness that I have or mental illness that mentally ill people have, you know, if I'm going to take on the stigma of having mental illness, you know, there's a lot more that I should be entitled to as far as the support from the government is concerned. Not that I'm not being supported enough. It's satisfactory. But, you know, if I have to take on that, and I can't work, you know, if I tell my employer I'm schizoaffective and the next day they fire me, which is exactly what happened, then why would I spend my time and effort, you know, investing myself in a company that doesn't even want to be a part of me, that doesn't want to invest in me? You know, sure, I have schizoaffective disorder, but did you see all the good stuff that I did for your company? No, you didn't see that. You didn't see that whatsoever. You just saw a label and a mental illness, and you assumed something based upon the mental illness. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is, you know, the mental illness aspect of this. You know, the mental illness is that, you know, I was doing fine without mood stabilizer for a while, and then I decided, you know what, I'm taking my mood stabilizer, taking my anti-anxiety, and I'm just going to to regulate myself so I don't have to deal with so much stress, because I was working spiritually, you know, and, you know, taking on the strength, or, you know, having the strength to take on, you know, evil and try to negate it. But then it's like, you know what, I'm going to take a load off my back, and I'm going to have some pills that just numb me, so I don't have to deal with Satan all the time. Because literally, when I'm dealing with the highs and the lows, that's essentially what heaven and hell was. The highs and the lows. Heaven is the mania. Awesome. Gifts. You know, like fun stuff. You know, depression. You know, like, why am I depressed? Because I'm thinking about this. Because this is sad. Because this isn't working out the way I want it to. Because this isn't perfect. You know, that's the hell. Heaven and hell was like the bipolar. I originally started the series because of my bipolar disorder. And now I'm on a mood stabilizer that just kind of numbs me out, gets me back at baseline. Don't let me get too high. Don't let me get too low. You know, just kind of like, you know, you see. Now it's like. That's kind of like what it's like to be baseline, to be strung out. And not radical. So, schizoaffective takes place when I'm not on my antipsychotic. And whether or not anybody else can see what I see or hear what I hear when I am psychotic is another story. I'm led to believe that... you know, you could transfer an entire different realm, you know, like hell to Earth. Would it be present for the individual, or would it be present for more than one person? Because last time I went off medicine and I had a lot of excess dopamine, a lot of psychosis, some spiritual, some physically spiritual stuff happened that I cannot explain. It's not even a part of my psychology to where that even came into effect. And I wonder, was that even real? It looked real. It looked like something that was real, straight out of a horror movie. But was it real? I don't know. You don't know. It's like you go into psychosis, you get psychotic, and then they give you medicine and they pull you out of there. You get crazy, and then they pull you out of wherever it is that you go inside the psychology of the mind. Which, say, for instance, you go into the psychology of the mind and you see things as it is in the world, as it is in the spiritual world, and you are aware of these things, you will lose your freaking cuckoo brain. I said cuckoo brain. So yeah, just kind of talking today about a little bit of mental health for you. And we'll take a quick break, come back, and continue the episode. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. You know, everybody who's labeled mentally ill or has, you know, schizo in their diagnosis is like under contempt of being Joker-like or under control of the Joker, or they want to rebel and they want to paint their nails black or dye their hair or wear gothic gear. And I'm kind of the opposite of that. You know, it's like, okay, yes, I have superpowers. Superpowers. Who else got superpowers like me? Because I got schizoaffective on me. Okay. No. No, for real. I know a song that gets on everybody's nerves. Everybody's nerves. I know a song. Okay, anyways. What I am thinking of is, does it really make you play into the diagnosis of, as far as self-image is concerned? Or could you twist it and turn it into something totally different? Like, for instance, I take the self-image of, you know, going to St. Joseph's Hospital, first hospital visit, you know, back in my hometown. Then I take into the account of, you know, having St. Joseph Church next to the place I go over there by TTI. Then I take into account, you know, somebody saying, Joe, your mercy, you know, and then I take into account all these different things that add up to me saying, hey, I'm St. Joseph. Hey, I'm St. Joseph. You know, I want to fight the devil. I want to preach the gospel. I want to read what's in the Bible. I want to know what I need to know. I guess I'm St. Joseph. But there'd be a variety of people that opposed to that position, especially those who say, oh, you think you're St. Joseph Mercy? That's the name of a hospital. And there's, you know, no such person, no such number, no such number, no such fame. I don't, what's that song? How does that go? We made a quarrel. No such number, no such plane. We made a quarrel. Address unknown. Return to sender. Return to sender. I just heard it earlier today. I was like, where is that coming from? Anyways, so you can either play into the good side or the dark side. More often than not, people get possessed by a demon spirit, which is what a mental illness is. And it could be multiple demon spirits. It could be a single demon spirit. You know, if I had my own practice, I would open up Joe's spiritual training for the psychological mind of what's happening in your dimensions, you know, or something like that. I don't know. You know, if people come to me and they're like, you know, I'm just experiencing this. It's like, all right, well, your demon is your ex-girlfriend who is haunting you, or your demon is the first girl you had sex with who happened to be a whore who slept around with probably 50 different men, and you're receiving all the things that she had conceived up to that point. And since you lost your virginity to her, she took all your good and gave you all her bad. She didn't have any good gifts to give you while you gave her a bunch of good stuff. So therefore you traded and you swapped, and now you're cursed with all the evil demons that were inside of her. Which is why, ladies and gentlemen, you should wait till marriage to have sex. It's a simple, simple common courtesy. You know, and if you don't wait till marriage to have sex, you're going to have complicated problems. You're going to get to your wedding day and you're going to be like, well, my wife that now, you know, she had sex with like 7 different guys before she had sex with me. You know, she's always telling me, you know, this guy was like this, this guy was like this, this guy was like this. And it's like, well, what am I like? And it's like, oh, well, you're like this. And it's like, well, you talk about this guy, you know, better than this guy. And you talk about this guy better than me. You know, like, are you still ranking and comparing everybody, or are we just, you know, just here to, you know, not have a good time and just, you know, to make each other feel terrible? And, you know, once we get into an argument, you know, use our relationships as part of the ammunition. Anyways, I used to love all the women I had sex with until I figured out that I shouldn't be having sex. You know, it was like, you know, I don't need to be having sex. I started off good, didn't have sex, just kind of messing around a little bit. Then, after I got deprived and sad and heartbroken, I was like, what good are women? They're not good for nothing. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have sex with as many women as I can. So I started picking up sex from women, you know, starting off with, you know, some women. And then, you know, I was like starting to heat up, started to get going. Then all of a sudden I had my break, and it's like all of a sudden I had that thing stuck in my mind. It's like, oh, got to still have sex with women, but yet now I have a mental illness. So I was like pain, living with mental illness, thinking I got to have some more sex. And it's like, you're not going to have sex because you're mentally ill. People who are mentally ill don't really have sex. Because you think about the other side of the person who's not mentally ill, do they want to have sex with a mentally ill person? Not typically. Okay? So that's where that comes in the line. But now it's like, you know, I've kind of regarded myself as abstinent, you know, saint, as prophet, as apostle, as the gospel of Joseph, as, you know, whatever it is. I don't care what my title is. I'm not a Templar. I don't know what I am. But I do know I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do know that he is the Savior. He is the King that's going to come down to earth and rule for all of eternity. And I can only pray and hope that I will be a part of his kingdom. Because I know I've made mistakes, and I hate watching TV shows where I listen to these women and they're like, I made this mistake. I made this mistake. I have a divorce. I have a tattoo. I smoke pot. I was into drugs. You know, I hate that. There's nothing more than what I hate than, you know, these people saying they make these mistakes. My mistakes, you know, God, I heard God said he didn't care that I have had sex. It's of no matter to him. Whether it have been one time or six or seven times with five different women, he doesn't care. I had my own problems to deal with that, and he said he didn't care. So that's out of the way. But does he want me to have sex again? No, not till marriage. So I'm not going to. Now, does he want me to engage in viewing graphical videos of women and men and all that type of thing having sex? No, he doesn't. That's lust. And that's, you know, it corrupts the eyes. It taints the eyes. It blurs the vision. So that's not good. Okay. Does he want me smoking my cigar and forging my sword of the mouth? Does he want me doing that? I don't know. You know, on one end, smoking is really bad for you, and it pollutes the mouth, and it corrupts the words. Listen to this. Listen to this. That is the noise I am making. It sounds just like a snake. So either I want to sound like a cunning, swift snake, or I want to sound like a snake jazz. No. If you watch Rick and Morty, you would get that joke, but I don't know of my population that tunes into my show who watches that show. It's a atypical study frame, study bubble. I don't know. Anyways, so I don't really know what would count as, you know, not smoking or smoking. He still hasn't really told me. On one end, he told me I'm forging a sword with smoking, with brimstone to cut down enemy power, fighting fire with fire, or the fire of love to cut down the fire of evil. I don't know, or the smoke. But, you know, I hear some people in their voices, and after they smoke for 40 years, they sound like a rusty box. I don't want to sound like a rusty box. I want to be able to sound good, but I don't want to be able to sound bad. But this is the voice I'm going to have if I keep smoking on my sword, and I keep trying to get my sword to be sharp. It's just going to be rusty, and it's going to fade away. Exactly. I do that better than what I'm doing my voice right now. So I could very well lose my voice. As I said, I don't want to give up my broadcasting talent. I don't want to give up my broadcasting voice. I want to be able to broadcast during the course of my recovery. And now that heaven and hell is complete, I have broadcasted during the course of my recovery. Awesome, 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 awesome. Echo location. Okay, and reality is so twisted that, you know, I shared what I could share while it was twisted, and now that it's back to a little bit more normal, I don't care to talk any more about it. Reality is done. Dreams is done. Heaven and hell is done. And at the end of this year, we're going to be done with end times. But we still have a lot of ways to go. We still got to talk about St. Joseph versus the Antichrist. We still got to talk about the Four Horsemen again. We still got to talk about the 144,000. We still got to talk about, I don't know if we want to talk about Satan. You know, we have, you know, say 5 to 10 episodes left of the season. This is just kind of a midway breakpoint where we just kind of, you know, intercept and just kind of talk about self-reflectiveness. Thanks for tuning in so far. This is the 30th episode of End Times. And just kind of talking about mental illness, how it affects me, how it affects people, and how people view it. And you know, it's like, you know, if everybody's so accepting of gay people, which is against the Bible, why aren't we accepting of mentally ill people, which is in the Bible? You know, mental illness and being demon-possessed. You know, I don't understand why gay people are accepted, but yet being mentally ill is frowned upon. You're just not mentally strong enough to get along with society. I don't know what else to tell you. Just get over it. It's like, you know, I don't know. If the government would legally allow me to have a gun, and you told that to me every time I was down, I don't know. I might get triggered. Mother effa. I might get triggered. And I might pull that mother trigger. Because you're triggering me when you say, just get over it. Not a threat, just kind of a, you know, I don't have a gun. I don't have any of that legal stances as it is. I'm just a crazy guy on here saying some stuff. I just get over it. Just get over it. Just trump it. Just move on. Don't let it affect you. You know how annoying that is for somebody who is mentally ill, who just, you know, has things that affect them and they have to sort through their problems. They take time not to let it boil up, not to let it, you know, boil up to a boiling point to where they want to, you know, pull the trigger. They have to sort through it. So I can clearly say that that's what's happening in America right now. We're seeing people trumping issues, just getting over stuff, suppressing it, and then it's evoking and coming to the surface, and it's causing anarchy. Sorry, that was my opera. It's not over till Joe says anarchy and then goes into a full-blown opera. Then it's over. Then it's over. Okay, well, thanks for tuning in today. We'll just call this one Anarchy, and we'll call it a conclusion to episode 30. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joe Wilmot for JCHW Broadcasting. Catch you next time on End Times.